meeting together. In the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we realise this evening that you, Lord God, have given your Son, Jesus, a name far above every other name. And at that name, every knee shall bow, whether things in heaven or things on earth, or above or under the earth, to the glory of God that Jesus Christ indeed is Lord. Lord, we just bless your name this evening. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for shedding your precious blood. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you suffered and died for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that you tasted death for every man. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you also rose again the third day according to the scripture. We thank you, Lord, this evening that there's an empty tomb. There's not a tomb nowhere on this earth, Lord, could hold you. Or there's not a tomb, Lord, where you're in. But, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're risen and that you've gone. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're seated at the right hand of the majesty in high. Will you ever live to make intercession for us this evening? We thank you, Lord, that you call us saints. We thank you, Lord, that you call us sons and daughters and heirs, even with Jesus Christ, all because of thy finished work, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord, this evening that you'll help us, Lord, to enter in, Lord, to your presence. Lord, let us cast aside every vain imagination, or Lord, every weight, Lord, that would so easily beset us. But, Lord, let us look to thee for an outpouring of thy Holy Ghost upon our lives this evening, Lord. Lord, we need thee, Lord Jesus Christ. Without you, Lord, we can do absolutely nothing. But Lord, we need even power for service. Lord, we need that Holy Ghost anointing in our midst this evening. Yes. Lord, we need that anointing, Lord, to quicken us, Lord, to pray for things that we know not what we should pray for. But Lord, with the anointing, Lord, your word says destroys the yokes. Lord, we pray, Lord, that every yoke would be broken this evening, Lord, that we would take confidence in your word and confidence when we pray, Lord, knowing that whatsoever things we ask, if we believe, we shall receive them, Lord. And Lord, just pray, Lord, that you'll increase every one of our faith this evening, Lord. I pray, Lord God, you'll help us, Lord, even as we have been singing, to believe God. And Lord Jesus, we just ask you, Lord, that you would indeed inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, bless each one. And Lord, for those that's home this evening that couldn't be here, we pray that you'll be their portion. And any, Lord, laid aside sick, Lord, be merciful and remember them, Lord Jesus, for thou art indeed are the compassionate Saviour. Lord, it's very easy for us, Lord. We maybe come, we make a prayer request, and we go and we forget about it. Lord God, we are only dust. Lord, the psalmist David says, you remember our frame that we are but dust. But Lord God, thou art the God of all the ages. Thou art the creator of man. And Lord, you can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And Lord, for the person that's sick, Lord, they're depending upon you. Lord, your word says, vain is the help of man. Lord, if we were to put our hand to it, Lord, we could do absolutely nothing. We're helpless to do anything to help the sick. But Lord, thou art a healer. And Lord, there's virtue comes from you. And Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that you release virtue onto the sick this evening. And healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, like Jesus. That woman who touched just the border of your garment. Yes. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that will the crowd of unbelief will be scattered. And people will press through in the name of Jesus Christ. Even here in this room this evening, help us to press through, Lord. Lord, there's many hindrances, Lord, to prevent us, Lord. Many people would say that we shouldn't be here or we shouldn't be doing it. But Lord Jesus, that woman that had the blood issue was determined, even though she was unclean. And she shouldn't have been in a public place. But Lord, she was determined to touch you, Lord Jesus, despite the circumstances. And Lord, may we have faith like that this evening that we'll do whatever it takes to touch you, Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, we'll not be ashamed. Lord, we'll not be discomforted, Lord. We'll not be embarrassed, Lord Jesus Christ. Nor shall we be dismayed. But Lord, let us with a go, Lord, strive to touch you this evening, Lord Jesus Christ. For Lord, the little chorus says, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. Lord, we know this evening, Lord, that your ear is ever open to our cry. And Lord, we know, Lord, that your arm isn't shortened, but Lord, your arm is still reaching down in love this evening. Yes. Lord, you reached it down, Lord, when we were in a horrible pit in the miry clay. Yes. And you lifted us out of it, Lord, and you set our feet upon the King's highway. Lord Jesus, we're glad, Lord, that you took us on our filth and our stink, and you washed us with your own precious blood. Amen. And you present us spotless before your Father in heaven. That tonight we can come with boldness, with authority also, because we are the sons and the daughters of God, and because we are heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord, you'll give us faith to speak thy word in Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord Jesus, that the gifts of the Holy Ghost, Lord, will have free course in our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us reverence, Lord, your gifts. Let us reverence them, Lord, and help us, Lord, to covet earnestly, as your word says, the best gifts in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will have free course in our midst. And Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, for an outpouring of a good old-fashioned Pentecostal meeting in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, where we can experience the power of God that we would know, Lord, of a surety, Lord, that you've moved through this place in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's a financial need tonight, Lord, take care of it, Lord, for it's only, there's no such thing as a big bill to you, Lord. For Lord Jesus, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. All the silver and all the gold belongs to you. And Lord Jesus, we just ask you, Lord God, that you'll meet every need. Lord, if it's a broken heart, Lord, you can heal the broken hearts, Lord. Lord, if somebody's down a twisted road, Lord, that they can't get straightened out, you can take that which is crooked and make it straight. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll set straight paths before our feet in the name of Jesus Christ. You'll help us, Lord, to walk before you, Lord, and give him praise and honor and glory to thy wonderful, precious name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us sing that little chorus wherever I am. I'll praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted up.
Wherever I am, I'll praise you. Wherever I can, I'll praise you. For in love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, the darkness of
And there's a church in Ghana who was listening into the meeting here, and they played our Sunday night service on their church website. So words going to Ghana, Australia, America, you don't know where it's going, where the Word of God goes. Now my whole thinking is, if somebody gets saved somewhere, isn't it worth it? Yeah. Amen, isn't it worth it all? Praise God. And obviously we want to encourage everyone here as well. We want to turn to 1 Corinthians again tonight, and I want to talk about the purpose of spiritual gifts, and I'm coming at this from a different angle than before. I'm not so much talking about the operation of different gifts, I've done that before, but I'm talking about the purpose of spiritual gifts and also the warning, because there's so much rubbish out there today that's false, that claims it's God when it's nothing to do with God. Absolutely nothing to do with God, but there's the genuine. And you never throw the genuine out because of the false. We want the genuine. But we want to know the false. And God's given us instructions. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and God bless all those that's listening in the night. And I want to also pray for Brother Jeff. He's hurt his back, and Brother Jeff on it. And I'm going to pray for others as well that need a touch from the Lord. There's people, you know, sometimes I'll ask people, lay your hand on yourself for your sick. Even listening in during the lockdown, people were healed. And the Lord healed them. And God's able to do it. And, you know, maybe some people we think should get healed, and we don't see them healed, and others get healed. So don't think God's doing nothing. God's always working. And we need to have faith for God. I want you also tonight to really pray for my dad. And I heard as well in America, there's big... it's been a massive fire over some part of America as well. And there's a lot of people in big trouble over there, some part of America. Some fires broke out. And also we're hearing more and more about this COVID-19. It's more and more people's getting sick. They're saying the hospitals are full. I don't know everything behind it all. But we want to be praying anyhow for God's protection, for our families, for ourselves. That the Lord will protect us. Let's read verse 1. And the Lord bless each one tonight, and those listening in, God bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, as ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's no such thing as different spirits to work different gifts. That is a false teaching. It's the same Holy Spirit on the tongues, on the prophecy, on the healing. Every single 9 gifts is from the same Holy Spirit, not a different spirit. There's no such thing as spirit or the spirit. There's no scripture for that talk. There's one Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And when the Bible tells us we're baptized by one Spirit into one body, and also there's one body. We're just a part of that body, but there's other genuine believers all over different parts of the world. There is genuine believers everywhere. And they might not see every tit and tattle the same as me and you. That's not important. If they're really genuinely saved, that's the main thing. Amen. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And that's our key verse tonight. Brother, can you just hit on that? Switch him off. Praise God. That's all right. It's off now. It's all right, brother. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit with all. This is the key verse tonight. To profit with all. Let us bow our heads, praise God. And if you have a need tonight, I want you just to lift your hand to the Lord as we're going to pray. I want you to be very sincere. I want us all to be sincere that God will really have his way amongst us. And those listening in that need a touch from God this evening, I want you to believe in your living room, wherever you're watching, that Jesus Christ is a healer. And wherever your pain is, I want you to put your hand on your pain, on your condition. And I want you to believe God tonight for your healing. Jesus Christ is a healer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you this evening that you are a Savior, a healer, a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and the coming King. We worship you this evening, Lord Jesus. We pray that you will forgive us for unbelief, for every single thing that's, Lord, in any way displeasing to you. Cleanse us and wash us in your blood afresh tonight. We cast down all reasoning, all vain imaginations, every thought that will exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. We cast it down. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against the spirit of infirmity. In Jesus Christ's name, I cast it out and off in the name of Jesus. And I pray you'll touch that man, touch that woman, touch that boy and that girl in Jesus Christ's name. Father, we plead your blood over everyone in this room and over everyone listening in, over our children, over all that's near and dear to us. We plead the precious blood and the life full of blood, the token, over everyone tonight. We ask for nurses, for doctors, Lord, that you'll keep them safe, that you'll watch over them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We know you're the same. We know you're not changed. We know you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we worship you this evening. Accept of our praise, accept of our thanks. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, even as our brothers pray. May we know the anointing. And may every yoke be broken because of the anointing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, touch your brother Jeff's back. May the pain go out of it. May be whole. In the name of Jesus Christ, for your glory. Now, Lord, bless your word to all of our hearts. Give us an unction from the Holy One. Help us rightly divide the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't it good to have your Bible? It's good what somebody put up today, wasn't it, about the Bible? And it's good to have a Bible. And I was thinking we're just a small fellowship, but we've sent out a lot of Bibles, haven't we, Brother Mark? We've sent out a lot of Bibles to different places. Our Brother Samson's still waiting on his Bibles. They haven't arrived yet in Liberia. He's waiting on them, but they're sent from every home crusade, and we believe in our Bibles. And get your Bibles on the mark tonight, and a pen and paper. We're going to look at the Word of God, and we believe God's Word. Amen. Now, when you read through this chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, you will can list the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, but immediately before listening these 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, verse 7 will be our key verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And we saw last week the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not that you can put somebody on a platform and put them, make a poster of them and glorify them and basically deify them. That's not what this is about. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to several to edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. They're not to glorify one or two people so that they can be praised and worshipped. And that's what happens a lot of times. Somebody is gifted, they make it near Lord out of them. That's not what it's about. The gifts of the Spirit are ultimately
to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to win the lost and to show the lost the supernatural of God. That is something I believe their body lack in the day. But the early church had that. The early church had signs and wonders following the preaching of the word. Now I know if we all come here as believers, we're all seeing. We're not going to see it in that sense, perhaps, maybe just if there's one or two sick. But if you go out somewhere where there's the opportunity, you can see it. I have saw it before. I want you to know that tonight. So don't think, nothing's happening and it's all dead. I believe that's a prophetic attitude, but I do also believe that it's not happening the way as much as it should be. How many agrees with that? How many believe we need more of the power of God? And there's only one way to get it. Somebody was saying, pray for our land, pray for our land. But you can't. You can't. Do you know why? The scripture came to me when I read that. The Bible says, when our land will humble themselves and turn from their evil and turn back to God, then God will bless them. But there has to be a repentance, just like the unseen. A man, God cannot deal with an unseen man in the way of gifts of the Spirit until he gets saved first. There has to be a repentance before there's a move of God. And I tell you, the land needs to repent. And America and all them nations need to turn back to God. And this land's no better. We have passed ungodly laws and ungodly rules. Abortion, same-sex marriage, and all these things has now been passed. And even the old Pope himself is now saying that two people of the same sex can come into union. And people are surprised. He said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not. Because there's been perverts amongst them for years. And I make no apologies live for making them statements. They're absolutely the truth. The stuff they've done, and you can read about it clearly, it's 68 million on their own martyrology. That's what's on it tonight. So it's not no secret what's happening. And I believe there has to be a repentance. But regardless to what's going on in the world and on in the lands, the Word of God tells us those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So me and you needs to be the people that know God. And we need to know God. And there's only one way to know God, and that's to get down before Him in real, genuine prayer. Not like Jack Cole used to talk about, Lord bless my head as I go to sleep. That's not praying. That's a rhyme. And some of us have rhymes over dinners and different things. It's all right. But if we really want to see God moving, a wee rhyme won't do it. I'm sorry, it won't work. There'll have to be real prayer meeting. Real intercessory prayer. There'll have to be what the Word of God calls a breaking up of the fallow ground and a time to seek God. And the farmer breaks up the ground and he plows it and he harrows it and he gets it and he prepares it for the seed. And the Bible says, one water, one soweth, but God giveth the increase. You don't stick badge on one man and say, boy, he's seen 10 saved, not other boy seen that. That's not how it works. You don't know what the other man could have done behind the scenes. Amen. What about the weak fellow that does the doors? And that's all he ever does, or gives a track out, all he ever does. It's all part of it. And we're going to see tonight, every single part of the body's needed. All of the body's needed. And the gifts of Spirit are to edify the whole entire complete body. Now here it says, immediately after listening these nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 proceeds to describe the church as the body of Christ. The body has many members and each of them have a different function. But they are all designed to work together to the benefit of the whole body. Being many or one body, so also is Christ. Now go to down in your scripture to verse 21. 1 Corinthians, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. And we'll read 21 to 25. And the eye cannot say to the head, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So sometimes the things that we think little of are needful. They are necessary. The small things are necessary. The brother that opens the door, the sister that cleans, or whatever sort of a gift it is, or ministration, it's all necessary. Because it's all part of the body. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these bestow more abundance. Honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh, that there should be no schism. And I want you to see this wee word, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We should care for one another. We should love one another. You know, Jesus gave the 11th commandment. How many knows what it is? Love one another. That's the 11th commandment. That we are to love one another. And so often, and all of us are guilty at times, we talk about each other in a wrong way. We should praise a brother, praise a sister. You know, William Branham said, if you can't give your brother or sister, as it were, a bouquet of flowers while he's living, don't come with him on his grave when he's dead. Do it while he's living, or she's living. Isn't that the truth? Amen. We don't need to put a knife in any of ourselves, each other's backs. The devil's done enough of that. We need to stand up for each other. Pray for each other. Uphold each other in prayer. The gifts are to edify the church. That's what they're there for. So that we come in that. Now look at this word, schism. It means that there should be no division or discord in the body. That's what schism means. Schism means that there should be no discord in the body. So if you have somebody that's going around whispering and telling tales in another brother or sister, that's schism. And God wants no schism in the body. No discord to be sown in the body. Or are we someone told it's actually a lie? You say, well, that happened amongst Christians. It would, yes. It happens. And we someone can be told, and it's actually a lie that's been told on a brother or a sister. And you know the word of God says you to bring no accusation against a brother, except it be well appropriate and confirmed first. People are so easy to hear stories and take stories told about someone. I remember years ago that somebody said they seen me at a bad parade drunk. This was after I was saved and serving the Lord for some years. And I'll tell you the truth, I hardly ever go to bond parade. Now, if somebody goes to one, that's fine. But I don't hardly go to one. But they seen me out drunk. They rejoiced over that. They rejoiced over that lie. That they seen me at a bond parade drunk. But when I come back from Africa and seen 1,000 people saved, and the weak girl's eyes that was blind open, and another man's crippled and paralyzed raised up and walked perfectly straight. They didn't talk much about that. They never mentioned that bit. You see, the devil wants to ruin your testimony and my testimony, and we should not help him. We should have no schism in the body. We should lift up a brother or sister and say, yes, it's a great brother, great sister. And even if we have faults, the Bible says, him that covereth, as sin covers a multitude, isn't that right? We shouldn't tell to the world what happens in the church. Amen. Meet somebody, how's the meetings going? I tell you, brother, they're absolutely useless. That's wrong to do that. What if you're going to meet a man that's standing there listening? How are you going to get him to come? It won't work. We need to love each other. Amen. Just as the husband loves the wife, so Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for the church. Praise God. No schism in the body, no division, no discord. That is no lack of adaptation to the parts of each other. There should be no lack in the body. Now from this, you want to to see this explanation is clear that God does not bestow spiritual gifts primarily to benefit the individuals, but to benefit the whole body. The gifts of the Spirit are to benefit the whole body. While the gifts do bless individuals, the focus is on what these individuals can do to contribute to the church. That's what the focus should be. The focus shouldn't be who's got a gift. The focus should be, how does that gift bless the church? How does that gift edify the church? That's what the focus should be. That should be the real focus. If you're praying for a gift, what do you want to do with that gift? Do you want a gift of prophecy so that you can say, here, I've got a gift of prophecy? Do you want a gift of healing so that you can get up and say, here, I have a gift of healing? The gifts are to edify the body. The gifts of healing is there so that the sick can be prayed for and healed. Prophecy is there to bless people, to edify people, to help you and me in our walk with God to get us closer to the Lord. That's what it's there for. God does not intend for gifts to work in isolation, but to operate together in order to achieve what God wants to do. God's building the church. And I want to say tonight, I believe the fivefold ministry, there's nine gifts of spirit, but there's a fivefold ministry. And I do not believe that you pray like nine gifts for the fivefold ministry. I don't believe that. I believe that you are ordained of God to be part of that fivefold ministry. You are ordained like a prophet is ordained to be a prophet from his mother's womb. The fivefold ministry is chosen in God. And God calls men to be pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, apostles. They are ordained for that. Before they're even born, God knows that they're going to do that. And they're ordained to it. Now, anybody can pray for any of nine gifts, but the fivefold ministry is a calling of God. There's a difference in the calling of God in praying for one of the nine gifts. How many of you understand that? You can't say if God ordains, the Bible says Jeremiah was a prophet before he's in his mother's womb. Now you can't say tomorrow, I'll tell you what, I'll be a prophet next week. It won't work. You can say that, or I'll be a teacher next week. It won't work. That is a call of God. That is not a choice you make. That is a choice God makes. And the man that's always called to do it will run from it. And the people sometimes that want to do it shouldn't be doing it. And that's the truth of it. But all these gifts, and even the fivefold ministry, is for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody shouldn't be preaching behind a pulpit. I'm sorry, but they shouldn't be. Everybody's not called to be a preacher. But everybody can play their part. Everybody has a part to play. And the preacher's not something greater because he's a preacher. He's no better than the sister or the brother that sits there and prays or has whatever part she plays. It's just as important as a preacher because they're still part of the body. How many can see that tonight? And no man should ever be lifted up higher than another man or another woman. It is Jesus Christ that has to be lifted up high above all. Jesus Christ. God does not bestow the spiritual gifts primarily to benefit individuals, but to benefit the whole body. Amen. When Paul was discussing or teaching on the purpose of the use of vocal spiritual gifts, and vocal spiritual gifts is 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to the edifying, and to the exhortation, and the comfort. Is not something. While this verse refers specifically to prophecy, there is a broader principle. The exercise of spiritual gifts should be governed by consideration of how they benefit the church. You see, somebody could say, I've heard prophecies before in other countries. And them prophecies were not prophecies. They were somebody's opinion of what they wanted to tell me, or somebody else thought was their opinion of what they wanted to get across. Their opinion. They were not prophecy. They were their own thinking. And I'm going to show you eight things this evening. how you're to judge prophecy. And you said judge prophecy has to be judged. Because somebody gives a prophecy, you're not to swallow it all down and say, oh, praise God, it felt great, it's of God. You have to know it's of God. And God has laid out principles in the Word of God that it's of God. It's like a man preaching. Would you take in everything a man preaches? Even myself, if I preach to you, you have to sit there and you analyze it by the Word of God. You could go home and say, I didn't agree with all the pastor said, and that's good. If you're studying the Word of God and someone said wrong, don't take it. Eat the chicken or leave the bones, the man said. Amen. But you don't just swallow everything. Because everything mightn't be from God. But this here is for the edifying, the benefit of the body. Here's the first thing. The first purpose of New Testament prophecy is to edify. Edify. To edify, to exhort, to comfort. The word edify means to build up or strengthen. So a prophecy pulls you down. How's that edifying you? You say, how would it do it? It could do it. If it wasn't of God. It could do it. It could take the legs one day. But this here said it's to edify you. It's to edify you. It's to exhort you. It's to comfort you. The word edify means to build up, to strengthen. The word exhort means to encourage. God can encourage you through a word of prophecy. Amen. The word comfort means exactly that. When anyone speaks a message into your life under the spirit of prophecy, it leaves you filled with condemnation and fear. That's not God. The spirit of prophecy will not leave you filled with condemnation and fear. Because Jesus says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of truth and of a sound mind. So you need to judge it, whether it's God or not. That message, it can't be from God if it does that. God does not fill his people with fear. And even preaching on faith should give you fear. How many of those people are in fear today? People are living in fear. Christians are in fear. And a brother even said, people, they say we shouldn't even meet here, a lot of people. We shouldn't be meeting here. That's what they're saying. Because they don't want us meeting, they're living in fear. And one wants to blame somebody else, and somebody else wants to blame somebody else. And it's hard to follow how accurate everything is that's on the news, because I've heard of so many people that went for a test, and they tested positive, and they never even had a test. So how could you take that as real? Now we know that it's happening. People are getting this COVID-19. It's there. We're not belittling it in that sense. We know it's there. But our fear should be for the Lord. Nothing else. We should fear the Lord. Here's another principle. Prophecy must bear fruit and agree with the Holy Spirit. It can't be separate of disagreement with the Holy Spirit, conduct, and character. Romans 14:17. But let me go back one. Prophecy agrees. Must agree with the Word of God. So if somebody gives you a prophecy and it's a contradiction to Scripture, how can that be from God? God will not deny his own word. The Holy Spirit will not deny his word. It's like somebody says, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And then when you give them the word of God and they say, no, that's not, I'll have nothing to do with it. How can they have the Holy Spirit and deny the word of God? How could you deny the word of God if you have the Holy Spirit? You would believe the word of God. Amen. Certainly what? And prophecy agrees with the Word of God. All true prophecy comes from the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? One Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit won't move on somebody through prophecy and give you a prophecy that is a contradiction to Scripture. That will not be the Holy Spirit. That's another Spirit. Around somebody's imagination. Amen. If somebody gives you permission to do something that's unscriptural, and I'm giving you permission, the Holy Spirit will not give you permission to do something that's contrary to his word. I can't see where he's going to do it. It's not scriptural. The Bible is our absolute. Not somebody's idea. We must judge everything by the word of God. The Urim and Thummim. It's God's word, not the truth. The third principle of prophecy must bear fruit. If some boy's living like the devil, you know, look at the story for William Branham talked about the two people, and he said they both operated gifts. He thought he'd fallen amongst the angels. But he come to find out one of them men was living with two women. So he was living in adultery and sin, but yet operating a gift. See, the fruit was wrong on that tree. We must bear the right fruit. You say, but how's that to do with Scripture? By their fruits you'll know them. Amen. Amen. Amen? Do men gather figs of the thorn tree? By the fruits you'll know them. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we shall have them things. And I pray, believe if we pray, we can have them. Now we know false prophets are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. Now a man that is live before the whole world on a televised broadcast that makes prophecies and they do not come to pass, that man is a false prophet. You should never hear them again. And when you go back over some of their histories and you see they've done it 1,000 times and the multitude still fall in, that's a spirit of deception. It's not the Holy Spirit. And it's happening today. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 7:15-16. Beware of false prophets. Now how many knows that this is one of the things for the last days we're to beware of? False teachers and false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Brother, we're believing the same. Shake hands, brother. You know how it is. And they'll mention a few names and a few statements. How many knows what I'm saying? And they're in. And once they get in, then they bring in doctrines of damnable heresies. And I've noticed myself, one of the biggest ones is to do away with the deity of Jesus Christ. And they spend sermon after sermon to preach that Jesus was just a man. And show you how he began and how he wasn't God and how he wasn't this and he wasn't that. And all the time the Bible says, Isaiah 9:6, Emmanuel. God with us. Absolutely contrary to what they teach, and thousands follow them, and they break up churches too. They'll go and they'll break up churches. Maybe some wee pastor has been faithful for years. And they'll go in and they'll make some big statement, some great new revelation. Listen to me. I don't care how new it is. If it's not in this Bible, I don't want it. Amen. The simplicity is what it is. Simple. You don't need it, you know, no explanation. False prophets, verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or fig trees? The first thing a false prophet, listen to this carefully, I wrote this evening. The first thing a false prophet or any person in deception will tell you is this, don't judge me. That's what he'll tell you. The first thing he'll say to you, if you hear him saying something that's wrong and you challenge him on it, he'll say, don't you judge me. Many's ever heard that. When you stand up for a strike, you shouldn't judge anybody. Many's ever heard people say that. All right? You're not judging, you're simply inspecting the fruit in the tree. That's what you're doing. And you have a right to inspect the fruit in the tree. Jesus done it. He inspected the fruit in the tree. Now here's another principle, fourth principle. A proverb contains predictions that do not come to pass, never fear. It's not God. Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. But it doesn't come to pass. And I tell you, we've heard so many things. Who'll be honest tonight in this service? How many things have we heard about COVID-19 and all the different speculations and this is to bring this about and something else, but none of it's a sure word from God. Now I could have an opinion. I'm not saying an opinion's wrong, it's not. I do believe there's someone more behind it all. You would agree with me in that tonight. But when somebody starts making prophecies and things and they don't happen, like one man saying there's a wind coming over now and this thing will be cleared in a week, and it's not. That man's a false prophet. I should write his name up, shouldn't I? I'll tell you, they'd put yours up. You better believe they would. Look at the fifth thing here. The principle of a prophecy comes true. Listen to this. If a prophecy comes to pass and promotes disobedience against God's scripture, it's not a true prophecy, even if it comes to pass. You say, where are you getting the scripture for that? Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 to 3. Listen to this. A prophecy could come to pass if it promotes a lie. Listen to what Moses says here. If there arise among thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, where he speaks unto you, saying, let us go after other gods. Listen to this carefully. Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Let the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. So if someone comes to pass that's to turn you to serve someone other than the Lord and speak, even if it comes to pass. You say, when will that happen? Well, Moses said it did. And how many knows when the Toronto blessing come out? And people ran after the Toronto blessing. Ran for it. Hook, line, and sinker. I tell you, a man said to me one day years ago, what do you think of the Toronto blessing? I said, I don't want the Toronto blessing. I want the heavenly blessing. Many agree to that tonight. Amen. Amen. Why receive someone to speak when you can have the real thing? Praise God. Moses here clearly states that just because a prophecy comes to pass through, but if it turns you away from God to serve someone that's not God. Look, you say, brother, I can't see how that would ever happen. Well, it can happen. When the Mormons first came in, they came in like wolves in sheep's clothing. And the Mormon movement came in and they practically brought in their teaching and their doctrine and they said, Joseph Smith, how many heard of Joseph Smith? Not the Mormons, brother. Right. Mormons. That's right. And he was given two tablets. He met an angel. He was given the tablets. No, he said, first of all, he said he met the Father and the Son. That's false. Because when Abraham, three came to Abraham, but he called one of them, my Lord, singular. And the other two were angels, went straight on to Sodom and Gomorrah. But the one stayed with him, which was the Lord. Melchizedek. No father, no mother, no ascent, no descent. But he claimed Father and Son came to them. And then he brought in his teachings and his prophecies. And at the start, a lot of things were maybe genuine. But then the people, he got them to the place where nothing was right, only what he had. Now, I've seen that again. Have you? Where a movement gets to the place, if you don't believe it exactly the way we're saying it, you'll not be in the rapture. If you don't believe it the way our pastor preaches it, you're not been, well, where's the Bible for all that? That's false. God will not bring you in and point you to the movement. He will keep you going on with Jesus Christ. Don't put the tent pegs down. Keep moving with the Holy Ghost. Pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day led them. Amen. They never camped down. They kept moving. Isn't that right? God wants us to be like a principle number six. True prophecy produces liberty, not bondage. Amen. You know, in our own services over the years, when the spirit of prophecy really comes, it's going to give you liberty. I tell you, my wife was in a meeting, and the orange hole, what do you call the one, brother, before we go? Tonic Moore. Tully Leash Orange Hall. My own wife was in the meeting, and the spirit of God came. One night in the service, and a brother was praying, prophesying, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit sitting in the back row. Nobody prayed for her. Nobody laid hands on her. And she testified that evening that the Spirit of God came on her and filled her. And I saw
what clings for her. It doesn't bring bondage, it brings freedom. Amen. You might know mommy's people have been already filled, you see. And maybe you don't know they're filled with the Spirit. But I'll tell you one thing, she knew it when she got it. She knew it. She felt it. And I know it doesn't draw on feelings, but we're in Ireland here and it's better felt than felt. Amen. How many believes it? And the guy often said, the Holy Spirit can come in you, come on you, and all over you, like a rain. I know it's in you, but it's on you as well. Like that coat, I put that coat on tonight. Now, if I take that coat off, it's off me. You see what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit can come on you, like a clothing. The power of God, a mantle. The Bible talks of a mantle. The mantle of Elijah came on Elisha. The mantle! And he took up the mantle. The power of God was on it. And I tell you, when they came to the waters, they knew the same spirit that was on Elijah. Elisha was on Elijah. That was on Elijah. Come on, Elisha. Because he smote the waters with the mantle and they parted. I tell you, people knew it. They could see it. And I tell you, the power of God's real. Romans 8 and 15 says, and I'm closing in a moment. Romans 8 and 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear and bondage, but the spirit of adoption, the Holy Ghost, comes on you, and you can cry, Abba, Father. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, now the Lord is that spirit. The Lord. I tell you, isn't it great when his presence comes? That's the Lord. The Lord is that spirit. Hallelujah. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. How many wants liberty? Spirit of the Lord gives liberty. Any form of control, listen, any form of control over another person by intimidation, manipulation, dominion, it's witchcraft. I heard of a man years ago when people left his church and he said, I'll stick you to the wall. That's what he told them. Because they left his church, he's a false prophet. I would have stuck him to the wall. With a left hook. I'm telling you, that's what should have happened to him. He was a false prophet. But you see, it's happened in circles. I know a man and he said, I'll stick you to the wall because the people left. Now what type of spirit is that? You know the disciples said to Jesus, we'll call down fire. And Jesus says, do you know what spirit you're off? Amen. Even if he had the power to do it, he didn't tell them to do it. Look at Elijah when those wee boys come out and they call them old bald head and the bears eat them. How many knows that? William Branham said he shouldn't have done that. But he done it. But I tell you, God gives you power. God couldn't trust some people with the power. We need the wisdom. Whatever we get from God, we need wisdom. Solomon prayed for that, didn't he? For wisdom. True prophecy injects fresh life into the meeting and the believers. That's what the Spirit of God will do. It'll give you fresh life. Fresh life. Where you come and say, it was good for us to be there, we met with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 6, who also made us evil ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth us life. And how we need the Spirit of God today. We need the Spirit. Here's my last thought. I'm going to have to close for the time's going. True prophecy given by the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your own spirit. You will not need to ask anybody to get out of the meeting, was that of God? Are you hearing me? I want you to think of this again. If true spirit of prophecy, the true spirit will bear witness to your spirit, you will know. If it was for you, you will know it was of God. I'll tell you, you'll know it. I believe there's true prophecy. True prophecy. I sat in James McConnell's church in Belfast. Bobby sat beside me. That man never seen me in his life. He could never have knew me. I had already been in jail. I was under jail. I was serving the Lord, but I was facing a jail sentence.
And I was worried how long I was going to get, what was going to happen. I was sitting worried about it. I was praying, I was sincere, I was seeking God. But you imagine all this hanging over your head, you've repented, you've got right with God and you're facing jail. And that man stopped in the middle of the sermon and pointed straight at me. Isn't that the truth, brother? And he told me everything. He said, there's a young man sitting in the balcony and your heart's right with God. And the Lord has called you. And you'll travel different parts of the world preaching the gospel. And he said, the Lord will be with you. An angel will be with you in jail. In a very special way. And that all happened. All of it happened. And I have traveled quite a few places for God's grace. It happened. Now, there were other people who gave me prophecies. I went somewhere and the boy prophesied over me here to carry the suitcases. He gave me a great word from the Lord. I was to carry the missionary suitcases. Just be a wee messenger boy. And somebody said, what do you do? I carried them. But listen to me. Listen to this. I carried the cases. And every time we reached our destination where we were to have a service, they were never asked to preach. I was. And so many times it happened. Everywhere we went, they never asked any of them. They come straight to me. They said, it's because of your Irish accent. Maybe it was. But they always come straight to me and ask me to preach. They never asked them. So much so, they got upset about it. They got real upset about it. But people were getting saved. People were getting saved in the meetings. If we walk humble before the Lord, it's God that does the rest. Praise God. We're going to come and pray now. I'm going to get our brother to switch this off. Don't forget, pray for Brother John's preaching Sunday morning. Pray for Brother John for the liberty and for the services that lay ahead, that people will get saved, that God will move on people, and that fear will be broken off people, that they'll not be afraid to come into the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word of truth, but we thank you for your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll bless your word to our hearts. And Lord, as we wait upon you this evening, that we will have an expectation for the genuine Holy Spirit to move upon every single one of us. Loose the gifts upon your people. And Lord Jesus, bless your people and strengthen them. Exhort them, comfort them, edify them. That we may come into unity into the perfect body of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the stature of the perfect man. Father, we do commit these things to you tonight. Lord, we ask for any that maybe have contacted this COVID-19. That you will touch them and heal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we ask that there will come a unity throughout the land, that people will turn to God and seek God and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just let's continue to seek the Lord tonight.